All right. This is going to be this is going to be an interesting show. It is the news, according to me. Yeah. I've got a lot going on here this morning. I hope you guys enjoy this. It's been a lot of work. Good morning. It is Wednesday morning, middle of the week, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, February 4th, 2026. And I am your host with a cup. I have a cup here. My cup has chai in it with... I forgot to put creamer in this. There's no creamer in my... there's no cream. I wonder why. It had kind of a funny flavor. Not funny, but it was good. I just was missing something. I didn't even think about it. I was so busy. I was just tripping over myself to get to the computer this morning. Fortunately, I have this wonderful backup cup. However, there's nothing coming out of my cup. What is going on here? It would seem that there's... There we go. I got this new cup. It's got a lid. It's got Jeep pictures all over it. This lid has... It seals very well, but the problem is sometimes the little vent hole will get a little bubble on it or something, and if it gets restricted in any way, you can't get anything out of this thing. But so I fixed it. They call me the fixer. I have some fun stuff to talk about today. If you watched listened to yesterday's show, it actually came out very late last night. I didn't get it public. I did it yesterday morning, and then I didn't. I got so busy. We had the Frontier guy here. They don't sponsor the show, by the way. There is no sponsor for this show. This show is sponsored by me. I pay for it. I do everything to post it on here for you, the listening audience, so you can get the advantages of what's coming out of my brain. It oozes from my brain down into my vocal cords, and it spews out of my mouth. That's what happens. It oozes out, much like slime. I have a lot of things to talk about today. I'm kind of excited. There's this thing going on behind the scenes. Even while we're talking right here, there's work going on. However, I'm not sure about how this thing actually operates. There's a thing called Claude. It's a coding system. I don't understand everything about it. Obviously, when you give it something to do, I'm building an app here. Build this. Do this. Do this. Go through all this process. You go back and forth. It's a conversational model is what they call it. You can kind of go back and forth putting in what you want, and then it comes back with, you know, ideas and options and all kinds of stuff. And I'm building this app for podcasters, and it's coming together pretty well. It's come a long way in just a short period of time. I mean, for me to build this thing from scratch would have been probably a 20-year project for me. There's another app, by the way, that I've been working on for about 10 years, over 10 years, trying to come up with a way to do it. And it was going to be very expensive, and it was going to be just the whole thing. It was just kind of crazy. It's built. I built it in the last week. I've published a book. I have another book to publish, and I'm putting together an online class. Two of them, actually. It's kind of a two-part class. I have developed. I started chatting with a large language model the other day, two nights ago, and I was up for about 5 hours, 4 hours, probably 4 hours, realistically, working on this thing. And I have developed a multi-billion-dollar business. it's one of those things where I'm not interested in the business at all. But I went down. I started asking questions about this other idea I had for a business, and it kind of. Going into it, you know, looking at the market research and everything that it was about, it looked like that was not really a viable idea. And the conversation steered me off in a different direction. By the time it was all done, I was making all these decisions. It was coming up with this and that. I was reading through all the material it was providing me. And by the time I got done, it was, you know, it was, this is a viable option. This is a, you know, potentially within 5 years, you're looking at about a $3.7 billion business. But I don't have the, money is not a big motivator for me, which is a problem. That can be a problem. It can also be a big problem. But it's when I look at this, I just don't see. I'm just not in life for the money, I guess. Which I know some people are, but it takes money to do stuff. So there's kind of this balance of, it's fun to have money. It's all well and good. Don't get me wrong. But that's not life. It can buy you experiences. It can buy you things that you can go do stuff, whatever you got there. But money can ruin people's lives. And of course, it messes with relationships. It messes with everything. And the biggest thing it messes with is the relationship of, between you and God. It can, money is not the root of all evil, but it is the root of all kinds of evil. I'm hearing some stuff about Bill Gates today. Apparently, there's some stuff that has come out about him. His wife was being interviewed. His ex-wife, I should say, was being interviewed. And some of the stuff that they were asking her about is if she knew about some of the stuff that was going on. And, she probably did. People who are just, wealthy beyond, they just throw away money. There's this point where I've seen rich people that money becomes a point at a point where they just don't. It means nothing anymore to them. Money's not an object anymore, and it's all of a sudden their lives become just ridiculous. They can do anything, and they think that the science and technology is going to protect them from everything they want around them. And money becomes their God, basically. It's a crazy thing. Now, I have some stuff to talk about. For example, right now, I have this caller here, this caller thing going on. I talked about this app that I've got going on. And it's going through beta testing right now with me. And I'm testing it with you guys and to let you know. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. And in my backup cup, by the way, I have sweet tea. It's a brand new fresh batch of sweet tea. However, I poured it into the last of my cup that I had with peach tea in it. I think there's actually some peaches in there. The new sweet tea does not have any peaches in it. It's just regular tea. But it's going to have to last me the rest of the week here, today, tomorrow, and Friday. And then I go into work on, I have to check off for a trip on Saturday. And I will be, out there. I'll be back on Tuesday. So I have this, it's revolutionary. It's going to be a new thing that's going to happen here with all of the, podcasters. I think it's going to be a very fun tool for them. I don't know. It's not something, again, it's not going to make me rich. I'm not expecting it to. However, I think it's going to be a fun tool. Now, what we have here Well, for instance, let's just pull in this. We've got a caller on the line. And speaking of callers, I guess this 812-379-8778, now that I have that number memorized, that number doesn't exist anymore. I've been touting that number for several months. And apparently, that number does not exist. I don't know what Google Voice does with an account like that. Apparently, if you don't use it, they just it apparently just runs out every once in a while. Because I do not have, if you dial that number, it will not get you anything. And, kind of strange. The new number, if you want to call or leave a message or leave a text, it is 574 651-7685. That number is 574-651-7685 on your phone dial there. You can call, leave a message, or leave a text. Apparently, that's the anybody that's left one in the last couple of months. Apparently, I don't know if I actually deleted the thing or what, but I memorized the number. I tested everything out. Everything was working with that number, but I've tested this number out now, too. We'll see if it works, continues to work. I don't know what happened with the other one. It's kind of strange. So I've got this caller on the line. And I know, things I was talking about yesterday and things I was talking about today, we'll see what happens with all this, stuff. But what just happened there? Oh, I see what happened. Okay. Never mind. There's some things trending here that are kind of strange. So I have, let's just go with this. I have in front of me, I have a caller. this is just something to be fun with. But let's see how it works. Let's see if this thing even works at all at this point. And we'll go from there. Let's just
hello.
Try this.
Thank you for taking my call. It's so exciting to be on a show with such a brilliant person. Your stories and your insights are amazing.
Well, thank you very much.
I know you just said something about this on yesterday's show, I was wondering if you could expand on the whole AI world and how it's going to take over and be the end of times apocalypse beast.
Yeah.
That reminds me of when it really depends on the specific situation and context.
Well, yeah, of course, there's always that. So this is. I appreciate you calling. And I guess, who was that? Was that, I don't know. That's all done. The this AI thing I was talking about yesterday, which is what I'm talking about today. And it's kind of what right now the app is all about. It's an AI-generated thing. It's going to have conversational mode, which is being worked on. It's got to be worked through right now. My designer agent right now is working on that stuff to make it more conversational and to bring up real-time events. So it's going to listen to what the show is about. It's going to listen to it's going to pull in all of the data from the entire World Wide Web to make conversational stuff happen, which I think will be kind of fun. Now, but anyway, the whole AI thing, again, I think that, will AI be the, to get to her question, she was so carefully brilliantly asked, her observations about my brilliant mind. I don't know where she came up with all that. We have, this idea that AI is the mark of the beast. It's, this is the beast. But it probably is. It's realistically, I think that the beast is a larger aggregate of a lot of things, but I think it's going to be a market. Because the scripture refers to, you won't be able to buy or sell. You won't be able to, this is going to be directly tied to market and cash and money, the money system itself. We won't necessarily have cash. You'll have a digital money system. It'll be tied to your phone, which is in your hand. And you have a code in your head. There's just a lot of things here that are very, very, I would say, along with, just go along with everything that was forecasted in Revelation and Daniel and other places in Scripture that I don't think you could even have available if it weren't for that. So now I don't know. For some reason, some things have disappeared here. We're going to talk to this one. We're going to get rid of that. Here's our next caller. I'm going to have him on the line. I've got somebody else on the line here who wants to talk about something else. Let's see what this subject is going to be about. Maybe we can get deeper into this and see what happens.
Longtime caller, first-time listener.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, what do you think about this voter election ballot stuff going on down in Georgia? Seems like Tulsi Gabbard getting involved is kind of bizarre. I don't know what to think of her.
Yeah. This is a good question, actually. I don't know how many of you have heard about this. Of course, the Democrats are all saying, oh, he's still mad about the 2020 election. It was the best. And they're still saying it was the purest election of all time in the history of America. They're still saying this with straight faces. And we all know that this was the best election, most straightforward, pure election of all times. There's never been an election like this election. They're still saying that, which blows my mind. So I don't understand how they managed to say that kind of thing. I mean, it just blows my mind that they would say that kind of thing. So I don't know what you think about this, but caller, I don't know what you're saying. But you know, pipe in there anytime you want. So it's you can say whatever you want there.
That's a great point. From a technical standpoint, I think it really depends on the specific situation and context.
Here we go with the situation and context now again. So that's all they say. There's no depth to these individuals, these little creations, these little virtual people. So we can't actually, you know, they're not real people, by the way. I don't know if you guys realize that or not. Probably should make that disclaimer right now. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, and these aren't real people. So there you go. We have, is this other one? I think that's one I also had on there before. The, this whole thing with the ballots down there now is quite interesting because, Tulsi Gabbard has gotten involved in this, and I'm not exactly sure what, why? I know she's in. What's she in charge? Is she in charge of the NSA? What is she in charge? Somehow she's involved in this whole thing. And now she's also involved in the, what was going on with the Crossfire Hurricane thing and everything with the whole investigation into Trump. Now, what she is saying is going directly in the face of Barack Obama. She is basically pointing the finger directly at him. She knows, and it's obvious to me that she knows that he directly ordered things to happen before and after the 2016 election. He was behind the scenes controlling. Let's put it this way. After November of 2016, Barack Obama stepped in and started doing things directly. That's what I think. Now, this is just my opinion. Again, that's just for entertainment purposes only. I'm not making any allegations here about anything that's, you know, whatever. Well, just have to see what starts to trend here on the trending situation. And we will see what pops up on TikTok. In the world of all that stuff. Let's go to another caller here. So we see what we got going on here. Yeah. Go ahead, caller. I'm listening. Go ahead. Yeah.
Love the show. I can't believe I got through and actually talking to you. I just wanted to say that I think everything you think is the best way to think.
Well, of course.
It's just amazing the way you think, and
of course.
I think that's what I think about what you think about.
Yeah. What?
But I really do have a reason to call.
Okay, oh, good.
Other than just complimenting you with shallow platitudes.
Oh, good.
I'm actually calling about the news cycle.
Oh. Yes.
What you've said in the past about how quickly they move off onto the next outrage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're seeing it in real time, and it seems that people just follow along like cattle.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I do agree. They do just follow along like cattle. That is something that they do. And, maybe the context of what we're saying, maybe that needs to be talked about a little bit. What do you think?
No, but literally, it really depends on the specific situation and context.
Of course it does. Yeah. Okay. There you go. That's what I wanted to hear because that's what they all say. There's nothing more in their brains, apparently. You got the entire World Wide Web at their beck and call with a super fast chip inside their heads, and that's all they can do is come up with context. And it's, well, it all depends on all they can do is the word salad from Maybe they're tapped into, maybe it's possible that Kamala Harris may have invested in a data center, and then these people all live, these little virtual creatures in there, all live in there. So there's that. The news cycle does move on very quickly, and it is very frustrating, because how many people remember Venezuela was a thing? That was the last outrage before, just a few weeks ago, by the way. Is that even in the news cycle right now? Of course, there's always ICE. ICE is always a thing. But have we had off? I don't think we have here. So it's... I know that that one has, I know it's, I think that we need to, we need something revolutionary here to happen. We need something more, a little bit more a game changer. Oh, here we go.
Long-time caller, first-time listener. Long-time caller, first-time listener.
What are you doing here?
Hey, what do you think about this voter election ballot stuff
We talked about that already. I think the same guy calls. He's a multi-time caller now. I think is what you would call that. Calls a lot.
I'm just going to jump right into it. No need for a lot of talking before I talk, so I'll just get right to the point and what I'm going
to
say.
Okay, get to the
Did
point.
Did you hear
then.
About the auto pen thing? Is Trump really able to dissolve all of the executive orders and everything else? I mean, is that really possible?
Well, I think it is. I don't know. I'm sure he's had his lawyers talk through this whole thing. He's not just going to say something. I guess he put a thing on Truth Social. That's what I understand. He put a thing on Truth Social. I can't talk like this. But I'm going to tongue
now, hold on. It really depends on the specific situation and context.
The situation and context. See, now, at that point, they're supposed to jump in and start having a conversation with what I'm talking about and the context of the rest of the show. So that's why there's that situation and context thing there, because that's really their directive, is that they're supposed to do that, but they're not doing that, so... So that's the fun of this whole thing. We'll see how it works out. I think I'm going to not do that. We're going to turn that little thing off right there, because it's just... Now, the fun part about this show and what has happened here, just because yesterday, we both here and at the worldwide headquarters, we have fiber internet here now. What used to take me about 20 minutes to upload, if I had an hour-long show... It took me 20 minutes sometimes. Sometimes, 4 or 5 minutes. But typically, it took me between 10 and 20 minutes to get my shows uploaded to all the platforms. I put it on Podbean as well as Castos. By the time I would get done with things and get everything loaded and get everything finished up, it would take me at least 20 minutes, sometimes 30. To get all the stuff plugged in, put in, and uploaded. I really don't do much editing. Sometimes I'll push the pause button on the machine here, but I typically do not do any editing whatsoever. There might be one show in a month I do like regular editing with, because something weird happens technically. But I don't do much of that. So I try to make it as realistically live as possible. And in the process of doing that, I go to load this stuff up, and it takes a while to do it. Last night I went to finally had to deal with all the installation of everything here around the house. I had to deal with people coming in and out of the house and doing running cables and all this stuff. Got everything done, and then had to go to my worldwide headquarters and do the same thing over there, which I had a lot of stuff to move around to get so they could get the cable run in. We had to go up into the rafters in that one. We had to go up in the upper part. The part of the building is made out of brick. It's an old building. The thing was built, I think, in the late 40s originally. The original building was. And then, of course, they added on to it and remodeled and did some things in the 70s. But we had to get this cable run into the thing, which there was an old phone line that had come in, so I don't use that phone line anymore. And they kind of had already had kind of an access point. But in order to get up in there and get the thing down through the attic, and then down into the utility room, it was quite the feat. Got that done, and then of course got everything put in, and I had to get everything set up and all that stuff for the rest of the day. And but now the uploads. I got home last night and I decided to finish uploading the show and get everything done. Uploading the show took, I don't think it even took 2 seconds to get it done on both platforms. I pushed the button and it went doot, doot, and it was done. And then I pushed the button on the other one and it went doot, doot, and it was done. And I said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We have not had that kind of internet here, especially at this house. In the 20 years we've been here, 23 years we've been here, there has not been that kind of internet. And now there is. And it's going to be a game changer. I think my wife is looking at possibly having a more of a work at home business online, more of an online business, where this is going to make a, this is going to be a game changer for us. Now, the thing about the worldwide headquarters, I've had this vision for a long time. I'm going to try to put a business model together. Believe it or not, I've got another idea for another business. It's hard to believe. I know. It's crazy, wacky. I have some kind of a mental disorder. I've had this idea. Now, the reason this thing sparked was because there was an old television station recently that was, it's between me and my office. It's just a couple miles away from my house. There was this old television radio station, and the building hasn't been used for quite a while because they redid the building. They actually built a brand new building, not very fancy one, over in, I've actually been in that building. It's over in South Bend, actually Mishawaka area. And I went over there one time to visit it. Of course, this other building over here was just sitting empty. Nobody was doing anything with it for a long time. And there was a guy, I think somebody came in right before COVID. They came in and they decided to buy it or leased it or something. I'm not sure what was going on with it. But they were trying to build something in there. They were doing something in there with some kind of manufacturing, some kind of vans or something. I'm not sure what they were doing. And they were building some kind of specialty vans. And then they moved out of there. They weren't even there 3 months. And they moved out. And then the place came up for sale. It came up for an auction, actually. And I happened to stop in the day of the auction. I was kind of curious what it was going to go for. I figured it was going to go for $1 million or something. I think that's what I assumed. I think the tax estimate on it, the county tax assessor's office was, they were paying, I think it was a $675,000 building is what they assessed the value at. There's some acreage there. There was, of course, I think there was multiple. I think it was over 2,000 square feet. I think it was 12,000 square feet total. But I think there was like 2,000 square feet just of off some of the main office space, like the office cubicles and that kind of thing. And then there was all the area for the, it was all set up for video. You know, it was all insulated. The main studio area was huge, and it was like about a half a size of a basketball court. In there, and it was very, very quiet. Then they had two other rooms that were designed just for doing voiceover work. And then they had a small studio. It was called the side studio. They had a name for it on the show. They would have it was kind of like a side show, desk. It was like a three panel desk and they would have like small, they would do like small reports in there, record things. So there was that room as well. Now, my vision for this place was that it would be a community creators space, and you'd be able to lease or have if you wanted to rent office space there, you could have your business literally based in there, or you could just use the facility and have a facility set up completely for the use of creating video, doing doing content, doing YouTube video, whatever, Facebook, TikTok, whatever it is, you could use that space, and the community could use it. Churches could use it, businesses could use it, and individuals who had a show could actually go in there and do. And if they had a YouTube channel, they could go in there and do professional recording with all the best equipment. Without having to invest in that stuff, they would just kind of use the space, and they would have a ready-made place where they could go in every day or whatever, every week or whatever, and create their show, and they could do their editing and whatever they wanted to do, create their content there. As well as businesses could come in and do, if they had a podcast, whatever they got going on, they could come in and do it right there, and it would be professionally done. They could do live streaming with extremely fast internet And all the faders, all the switchers, all the stuff that they would need to make it all happen, you know, proper lighting, everything that could be done, audio, the whole thing. And then there could be, you know, the one section of it would be kind of a business incubator for creative contenters, creative folks who are creating content. That was my vision for the place. On side of that was, I have a small home group that I attend, and there would be space in there for us to actually have a little place where we could meet. And I thought that would be kind of cool too, to have a little facility that would just be just for that. And other churches could use it as well. Other you know, institutions would want to use that kind of thing. Whether they be actual church institutions or some kind of nonprofits, whatever. So that was the goal. That was the vision. I went in there I went and looked at the place when they had it open for a while. And then when the day of the auction, I stopped in. Because I drive past it all the time going to my office. The place went for $75,000. $75,000. I probably could have gotten it for less than that, because when the bank that bought it was my bank. It's actually a credit union. And the guys who were there knew who I am. They know who I am. They didn't really know me, but they knew I was. I've been banking at this bank for about 50 some years, I think. I'm not exactly sure. I started there when I was not even a teenager when I opened my first account there. They literally were a little savings and loan in something called the Farm Bureau Credit, the Farm Bureau Co-op. And my dad worked there, and they had this little savings and loan thing in the back. These two brothers started this thing. And I opened an account there. It was only a savings account. It wasn't a checking account. It was only a savings account. That's all they offered. And that's where I started. That's where I started saving. That's why my first savings account was there. Well, that same number that I opened my account with is the same number I still have today with that bank. When I tell a teller, or when I tell anybody there at the bank that my account number, they usually pause for a moment, because nobody has numbers like that there. Very few people anymore have numbers like that there anymore. It starts with a one, to first of all, and then it's which is very, very rare. It's one of those things where that doesn't mean I have any clout there necessarily. They don't really. It doesn't mean I walk in and act like I own the place, but they do know I'm a longtime customer there. You would think that they would value my opinion, but they don't. They don't seem to. I don't really share it. Believe it or not, I there are some things I don't share my opinion on. Even though this show, I'm sharing it right now. But it's one of the, yeah, that's what this show is about. So I have. Where was I going with all that? So I end up with this this idea where they were there to buy the building. They were there as well, and they were very quiet. If I had made an offer when it was in the $65,000 range, they probably would have backed off. They kept running it up, and I probably could have gotten it for 72 to 75, somewhere in that range. I could have bought this entire building for that. Now, the building I'm in is much smaller. It's much tinier. I would not take that much for my building that I currently have, unless I was in dire straits. But it was a bargain. It was cheaper than cheap. And I just was not in a position at the moment to buy it. I just didn't have the financing. Just nobody in the family was ready to step in to help with that kind of thing. It ended up selling. The bank ended up selling it to someone. I looked into the records on it. The bank turned around and flipped it right away. They didn't do anything to it at all. Sold it to somebody for a small period of time. Sold it for about $275,000. And then another company came in and bought it again. I think it sold for it was almost $400,000. And that company then remodeled it all. They basically ruined it for what I wanted to do with it. I don't think it would be usable anymore. They put office space in it. It's a big office, central office space for some kind of company that was in the process of getting bought out And it was, well, so there's money pouring into the company at that time. And then the, now the name has even changed on the building because it's the new, the company that they merged with, they changed the name. So it's all office space and it's busy. It's being used. I'm glad it's being utilized. It's good for thing. But, at the same time, I really, it was probably, now here's the thing. It'd be very easy for me to beat myself up and say, oh, well, I missed an opportunity. You know, maybe it took that to spark the idea of what it could become. Now, the building I have could do the same thing on a much smaller scale, But I could potentially do the same kind of thing there. So maybe the idea is I start smaller with what I have and build it into something where once it gets big enough, then we can justify moving into a huge building with all kinds of overhead. That building, just to heat the building alone and probably, you know, maintain the building, probably, and plus the property taxes on the building, probably would have cost me more in a year than I paid for my building that I own now. So it's, I got an incredible deal on the building I got now. The people that had it, it had been sitting empty for a couple of years and they just wanted to get rid of it. It was, I was in the right place at the right time. And it's one of those God things where it just happened to be, and it worked out very well. Oh, that's good tea. So I ended up, with this idea that maybe I can, you know, I think that by the time I graduate, by the time I retire in a couple of years here, a year and a half, I'm hoping to have kind of a plan of action for to kind of get that thing rolling and maybe possibly do the same kind of thing, same vision, just on a smaller scale. And then maybe I can grow it out of that and make it into something, and it would become, you know, a viable thing. And I could kind of expand that. Now, here's the thing, that with that kind of a facility, that is scalable to other communities. So we could literally become a brand and have a turnkey kind of a franchise style operation where we would move into, with all the content that's being created, with everything that's happening, those kinds of facilities could be used all over the place. Now, I'm sure there's probably some around where there's like clubs where they have this kind of like the Maker Hive thing happened when people were doing stuff with 3D printing and all kinds of automated machinery that's now accessible to the average guy. Those are the kinds of situations where I think that we could branch out and actually become a brand, become a franchise with something like that. And it would take very little investment in terms of the basic overhead initially, other than just buying equipment and not a lot of, you wouldn't need a lot of personnel. In other words, you wouldn't need a lot of work. The workforce could be fairly small. It's all basically in assets of electronics and that kind of thing. So anyway, enough said about that. I'm going to check in with the AI here and see what's going on with my builder. See if I can find Claude. Where's Claude? Hey, Claude, come over here. Where'd you go? What happened to you? There you are. Is that you? No, it's not. There you are. Yeah, I've checked in here. I thought I lost a whole bunch of the show. I just looked back there. I thought, oh no, I've lost the last 20 minutes of the show. That was the most exciting part. It's working now. I've checked in with Claude here. It's working. I got 30 minutes. Well, it said 30 minutes. Then I queried it again, and it's saying it's phase E delivering now. One of the things I discovered about this AI thing here, especially Claude, anyway, is that when it says it's building something in the background, I'll be back, you know, tomorrow morning with it. This will be all be done. You have to keep it on. If you log out or you go away or you shut down your computer, it will not keep. It stops working. So you have to keep querying it occasionally, just like I did just now. It said 30 minutes, delivery, you know, phase E shortly, stand by. I waited about 2 minutes and said, patiently waiting, exciting to see the product. Now it's saying, phase E is delivering now. Here it is. It's done. That was less than 30. That was like 10 minutes at the most. And here it is, phase E. Phase E delivered, search and queue, download podcast caller phase E. folder above. So now I've got all this, all the files, everything's done. I will be able to test this out today, and then I'll be able to get on here tomorrow. Hopefully use this tomorrow morning, either tomorrow morning and Friday. And it's literally at the point where if everything tweaks out here, I might just have a few things adjusted. Usually I can go back with a few notes and say, you know, change this, and this. It usually takes about an hour the most. I go through all these files. But the basically what we have now is what can I do with that? Can I copy that or download? I'm going to download that. This is kind of the end user thing. And this is ready for beta testing now, I think. Everything else had been done pretty well. So we'll make sure that this kind of works as well. See how it goes. Where do I want to put that? Okay, anyway. In the meantime, I think what we'll do is we'll just kind of, I don't know. I think it's just going to call it a show. Basically, at this point, I'm going to wrap this up. We have tomorrow is Thirsty Thursday. Financial Friday, it should be interesting. I'm going to be talking to a financial guy later today, and I have some questions for him. I might even actually have a meeting with him tomorrow just to kind of pick his brain about some things. So for content for the show on Friday, which would be kind of fun to have his perspective. I might even put together an interview with him. I might be kind of interested. An actual real live interview guy kind of thing. See what he has to say about some things. It'd be interesting to get his opinion on something. I'll have to talk to him about that. Now I start doing more interviews, actual live interviews, not just virtual interviews, but that's to come yet as well. Folks, thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great rest of your day. I hope that you've been entertained by today's show. I will see ya.